I'm Marco Werman. You're tuned to The World. You know, it's not easy when you're busy, but I do try to think about my carbon footprint. I leave the car at home as often as I can and bike. And it's getting easier, at least in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I live. Right across from my house, in fact, I can hop on a shared bicycle, part of the Hubway program here in Boston, or I can open up an app on my phone and reserve a Zipcar. Shared vehicle programs, whether it's four wheels or two, are popping up in cities all over the globe. One of the newest is City Scoot, which provides electric scooters to riders in Paris. Adeline Sio went to check it out.
We all know Paris can be romantic, but it can also be noisy. Vehicles of all kinds clog the narrow, congested streets, which makes scooters and motorbikes one of the best ways to get around. Every day, 120,000 of them crisscross the city. Now a startup is adding some clean, quiet ones to the mix: electric scooters. Vincent Bustare of City Scoot explains the company's system doesn't use any dedicated stations for its fleet.
All the scooters are geolocated. You rent the scooter, then you ride it, and then you park it anywhere inside the City Scoot zone, which is inside Paris, basically.
Bustare says this system has attracted 10,000 riders since the company got started 3 months ago. New users have to upload their driver's license online to enroll. Then it's pay-as-you-go, about 30 cents per minute of use. Bustare shows me how to book one of those scooters. City Scoot's dedicated app locates an available scooter down the street. Bustare reserves it and receives a PIN code on his phone, which he punches onto the scooter's small keypad to unlock its mechanism.
Now you can see that the handlebar is unblocked, the dashboard turns on, and the saddle is now open.
We can lift the seat there, and we find a helmet.
Exactly. The helmet inside is adjustable.
And there's no need to worry about the battery. When it gets low, a technical team comes to replace it. And gone are the fumes. Obviously, there's no exhaust pipe on an electric scooter. So gone, too, is the thunderous noise of a motorized vehicle. Here's what this machine's wheels sound like in motion. As he rolls the scooter on the street for demo, Bustare says the quietness of the scooter makes it safer to ride.
So the good thing is that you can hear any vehicle around. So for security, it's even better. And you can only hear the wheels hitting the cobblestones.
So this intrepid reporter needed to try it out for herself.
All right.
Off I went around the block, and I guess he wasn't kidding about those cobblestones.
Okay, just the cobblestones.
In spite of that, the scooter seemed to just glide along.
Very smooth. We're almost at the Champs-Élysées here. I'm not sure I'm going to do that yet. Okay, red light.
But I did go down the Champs-Élysées and even tried a bit of speed on the avenue.
All right.
Feeling morally superior to the traditional smelly and noisy scooters zipping around me. And back to the cobblestones. Soon, more Parisians will be able to enjoy those clean wheels, cobblestones and all. This month, City Scoot will double its fleet to 300 scooters and wants to expand it to 1,000 by spring 2017. For The World, Adeline Cyr, Paris.
Like Adele just said, the electric scooter program is a startup program. That means there's not a lot of information about how successful they may or may not be. But there are plenty of studies completed about another transit program, Bike Share. The different systems are fairly similar. Stations of bikes are placed throughout the city. People check them out for short trips. We have the Hubway here in Boston, and now it seems like most every city has them, from Charlotte to Portland. But I wanted to know, do they actually work? That's a question I put to UC Berkeley's transportation expert, Susan Shaheen.
They're working and they're exploding. I think that's the key takeaway, is there's over 1,000 cities across the globe with bike sharing systems. And as of April 2016, according to Russell Medden, who keeps these counts, there were 1.3 million bikes. And about a million of those bikes were located in China. And these systems continue to grow. We're here in the Bay Area, and we just learned about a week ago that our system is going to grow from 700 bikes to 7,000 bikes.
Wow, that's huge. So when you say they're working, what impact do they actually have on the cities where you find these share programs?
Right. So we have studied bike sharing extensively in North America. We've looked at it in Canada, in the United States, and in Mexico. And one of our most recent studies studied all three of those nations. And what we showed was through these examinations with members of these services that as a result of using bike sharing, about 50% of the members said that they were driving personal vehicles much less. These systems are also leading to greater physical activity. We've seen in our analysis of them that as you move away from the urban core, they tend to just serve as magnets to get people to and from public transit. And in areas with less dense public transit networks, the same is indicated.
So if you look at New York and Boston's bike sharing programs, you see the logos of Citibank and New Balance. How are these sharing programs for two wheels funded?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've spent a fair amount of time looking at the business models. And what you're referring to is part of the sponsorship model, where companies come on board and they help to support and sponsor those programs. And in exchange, they're able to brand the bike sharing programs associated with them. What does this do? It brings additional funds to the table, and it keeps it possible to grow those fleets, have individuals paying relatively low membership rates and daily fees.
So bottom line, Susan, these bike sharing programs, good or bad for cities?
All of our research indicates that this is good for cities. It's offering an alternative mode of public transport. It's an active mode of public transport, and it's helping to complement and augment the public transport system, according to our research.
And in your opinion, is this just the beginning? Do you think bike sharing programs will expand in the future?
If the past is an indication, just in the last 5 or 6 years, these programs are going to continue to expand, become more technologically advanced, include more solar docking. They're going to include more access through smartphone apps and mobile payment systems. And they're going to also include electric bikes.
Susan Shaheen with the Institute of Transportation Studies at UC Berkeley. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.